Hello everyone, I'm George Romano. Well, thank you for attending my channel. I saw comments by President Vladimir Vladimirovich of Russia the other day saying that Russia is ready to fight Europe, though does not wish to do so. Now, nobody in Europe, so far as I know, is talking about declaring war on Russia, but Russia's ultra-aggressive intentions have been patent for some decades, since 1991. Illegally occupying Transnistria, that's part of Moldova, illegally occupying South Ossetia and Abkhazia, which is part of Georgia, and so forth. And then the occupiers having the nerve to claim to be peacekeepers. No, the United Nations provide peacekeepers, not those who are illegally occupying the territory. So Russia's ultra aggression is clear. Murder on the streets of London of British citizens, murder in Salisbury and so on. So international terrorism, as well as cyber attacks on Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, blowing up a warehouse in Slovakia some years ago, murdering the security guard, interfering with the GPS of all sorts of civilian planes in the Baltic, and it's a minor miracle none of them crashed, as well as obviously the ongoing illegal war of unprovoked aggression against Ukraine and numerous atrocities there. And these days, Russia is teaming up with the most barbaric tyrannies in the world, like North Korea and Iran. Not that I'm anti-North Korean or I'm anti-Iranian. I feel very, very sorry for people. Obviously, most people in those countries will be decent, but they suffer heavy oppression. So why is Putin saying this and why now? Because it's coming to a critical stage in negotiations. Will there be some concessions? Putin saying, not only do I need de jure recognition of the illegally occupied areas, but Ukraine has to withdraw further west and give me their good defenses. So they don't have that defensive line. Now, I don't think anyone in Ukraine is stupid enough to trust Putin. And so, well, even if they say that they de facto or even de jure recognition of those eastern illegal occupied territories, the one thing they cannot give them is their defences, because that's guaranteed to have him try to advance further. So he's had to string this out. He wants to decouple European countries from the USA. He would like to see, obviously, NATO broken up. And that's why one of his demands was NATO retreat to the borders of 1997. Yeah, right. Well, why has not Russia retreated to the borders of 1997? Goodness. So he's trying to intimidate European countries. They might say, oh my God, we better back down and tell the Ukrainians the game's up. You've got to give up. We're cutting off military aid, financial aid, intelligence sharing, all this kind of stuff. You'll never get in the European Union unless you don't give up, because people are afraid of war. And in his book, The First Person, which he published as soon as he became president, he talked about using fear. And that is it. He rules through fear. So terrorizing his own people in Russia proper, as well as in Chechnya, with numerous mass murders in Chechnya, the wide-scale use of torture and so on. And apart from against Chechens, it wasn't that bad in the early days, in the noughties. And there was some genuine democracy, but it is, there was some freedom of the press. There wasn't that much torture, not that many murders of opponents. It got worse and worse and worse as he got away with it. And he got in a position of unchecked power. And plus, he's an old man in a hurry. There are those who would like to run up the white flag, and it's difficult. And, you know, European countries have always been behindhand, have not given enough military aid, have not given enough financial aid and so on to Ukraine. And obviously, there are some governments, such as in Slovakia and Hungary, which are openly sympathetic to the Kremlin's position. They border Ukraine, partly because Hungary is concerned about the Hungarian indigenous ethnic minority in Western Ukraine. And the guy who almost won the presidency in Romania, Calin Georgescu, had the temerity to claim that Ukraine is an artificial state. Well, I mean, all states are man-made. Borders have always changed. People have always moved. So in that sense, all states are artificial. Goodness. So because with regard to the USA, Putin has somewhat succeeded. Military aid under Trump to Ukraine is a fraction of what is under Biden. And need financial aid. There's still intelligence sharing, which even Trump cut off for a while. The much-promised Tomahawks has not arrived. There's more this bluffing from Trump that he was going to introduce hard-hitting sanctions when Putin messed him around. And remember, Trump was going to bring peace within 24 hours. Well, ha, ha, ha. So it was over 10 months, and it's nowhere near. So Trump has succeeded in reducing the American reaction, How does he reduce European support? And that's one of the possible ways. And he used to talk about nuclear war. It shows just what a threat to world peace he is, just how evil he is. There's only one world leader has repeatedly threatened nuclear war, and that's him. All the other nuclear weapon states, even North Korea, they haven't been talking about launching a nuclear war. And it wouldn't agree to sort of no first use, even over other things he might launch nuclear war, partly because he knows the deficiency of his conventional forces. I mean, if they can't defeat Ukraine in 4 years, how on earth are they going to defeat NATO? But they do have sheer numbers. At the Battle of Pokrovsk, 170,000 Russian troops concentrated. That's more than the entire army of Germany. By way of context, the whole British army is only 70,000. Now, admittedly, the Russian troops are lower quality, rushed through basic training, lacking a lot of kit, and they've actually got more vehicles now than they did at the beginning of the war. They've got loads of Cold War ones out of storage. Some of these date back to the 1950s, often in very poor condition, and they just weren't built as well as modern ones. Not as fast, can't cope with so much mud or steep hills or whatever. They don't have the same communication systems. Their weapon systems are primitive by comparison. All the rest of it, very noisy, very polluting, blah, blah, blah. Very vulnerable, but they do have more of them. So some of them being destroyed, and they can produce, manufacture more of them, but not at such a rate. So they won't. This fleet at this rate won't be significantly reduced for about 5 years. But yeah, they're getting worse and worse, the ones they have, so that they're less of a threat than before. And if Ukraine has good, dragon's teeth or anti-tank ditches everywhere, then there's not very useful because there's not a very mobile war. But Putin thinks he's winning. He claims to have taken Pokrovsk. I mean, they've claimed that before. I thought it was going to fall months ago. They've been attacking Pokrovsk for over a year. At this rate, the entire population of Russia will be wiped out long before they got to the western border of Ukraine. So, yeah, it's intimidatory tactics. And everything is escalatory. But, you know, all his attacks are never escalatory. All his incendiary rhetoric is never escalatory. His threat to wipe out the entire human race is never escalatory. You see how dangerous it is. And this is supposedly anti-Nazi crusade. And there was this Putinite troll writing me today, and his symbol was an axe in a skull. That's not fascistic or anything. So you see this revolting death cult that Putin represents. Wow. And it's actually crucial for civilization that Ukraine is saved and doesn't fall to Putin's barbaric hordes. Now, I'm not Russophobic, not saying that most Russian people are bad people or any nationality is mostly bad people, and their good people will follow wicked leaders and be gulled by propaganda and close their minds to the truth sometimes. It becomes dangerous to even think a dissident thought under Putin. And some people will say, my people right or wrong. Okay, I know we're in the wrong, but, you know, I've got to support my nation and things like that. And there'll be some wrongdoing on the Ukrainian side, which will be hugely exaggerated. Selective reporting by the media is all Putin's propaganda machine. Think about that. Is it Howard Phillips, that British traitor who's there with Putin's forces? Now, Western journalists not allowed with the Russian military, but he is. Now, he's not a journalist. It's precisely because he's a propagandist he is. And he's only allowed to report things from official Russian military sources. So there he's part of the propaganda arm of that army. Goodness. Yeah, that's why he has such unique access. And it shows that many people will do anything for money. It's worrying some people might give in to this. Putin wanted to launch a nuclear war, but people would hit back. That's why it's very, very important that France, the United Kingdom, retain their nuclear arsenal. I thought, you know, does Germany want to become under this nuclear umbrella? More European Union countries, they could pay more money to France or pay more money to the United Kingdom. The UK is talking about getting those French jets which launch nuclear missiles. Because one of those jets is much cheaper than a nuclear submarine. It needs one or two pilots. So the nuclear submarine needs such a big crew. The UK's got four, one coming back from patrol, one heads out to patrol before the other one goes back, one in refit and one in reserve in case something goes wrong. You might want more. So the jets can be used for other purposes, much smaller, much more useful. Anyway, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.